Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am profoundly, deeply, and humbly grateful you chose to be with me on this 26th day of May 2019. I drift back every so often. It just is interesting getting old, isn't it? Anyway, I'm very, very grateful you're here, and we're going to talk today a little bit about hope and belief. I have some wonderful questions that have been offered to me, and I am, I'm extremely grateful for those wonderful questions. It moves me very deeply when you write me. No matter what you write, even if you're criticizing or analyzing or whatever, it is very, very touching to me that you took the time to write me, and I thank you for that. I really do. And I want to also thank those of you who are sponsors who make this possible, and I hope that there will be those of you who listen to our radio program here and become a sponsor, because we need your help, always need your help. I guess you understand the climate we're in here in this country now. Everything has changed according to the rules of engagement from the pedestrian mentality that rules this this earth, basically. We find people with not very kind hearts running the show. And, well, you know, what was it that what was it that was said? We get the government we deserve. Yeah, we probably do. And that I think that was Franklin that said that. I think Benjamin Franklin did, but I could be wrong. It could be any one of the Hopis that tried to make this country what it was. We just turned into some very painful and unhappy human beings that did nothing but make problems in this world, and I'm sorry that happened. I really am. But you know, the thing that is most important is, what do we do with ourselves? And that's what Aspire is all about in this program. And we're going to look about hope and see what we can do about that. If you find the radio programs to be helpful, I hope you become a sponsor. That's all I can really say. And I understand your hesitation. Hope and belief. What is hope? A feeling of expectation, according to the dictionary, and desire for a certain thing to happen. Okay, I want that kind of etched in our minds here. A feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. Now, let's look at the word belief. An acceptance that a statement is true or something that exists, something one accepts as true or real, a firmly held opinion or conviction. Now, opinions and convictions usually are tied together in something called the bad breath of the ego, the hubris. So you can believe in anything. It doesn't matter what I believe in. It just matters that whatever it is that I believe in, it has to be something that I accept as true or real or firmly, convicted in my mind. Then there is something called the belief system, a set of principles or tenets which together form a basis of religion, philosophy, or moral code. So there you are. You have something deeply held by opinion and conviction, which is interesting. And then you have the hope, the feeling, or the expectation of desire for certain things to happen. You put all this together, and then you have exactly where we are, why we are, and the way we are. Most of us live hopelessly in hope. So I get a ton of emails on this subject of hope and belief. People spitting out Bible quotes to me and everything about, you know, hoping against hope and yada da yada da yada da, hoping for the best, things like that. So and most people think that's all they can do. ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. If you are hoping for something to happen and you haven't become that which allows it to happen, or maybe is in the works to let love live you, as it were, what good does it do to hope when you're not going to participate in any of it? It's just something to think about. So I got three questions here, and I chose these three out of literally 20 or 30 questions that I could have used, and I may use the rest of them on another broadcast. So, you know, don't give up hope. First question comes from Sherry, and she lives, let's see, where does she say, in Illinois. I was raised to believe in hope and belief, to believe in good and hope for the best. This doesn't seem to work. Is this God's will, Sherry? So, Sherry, I'm going to interpret this, forgive me, and I hope it's what you want. You're saying here that you were raised in hope and belief in good, and you hope for the best, and then it isn't working, and maybe it's not working because it's God's will. And now that's what I hear you saying. And that's a very good question. It's a formidable question. And I admire your courage to even say it, because most people, A, would not have the mental acuity to say it, and B, they'd be afraid to say it for fear of being trounced on. You know, God's will. Let's just go there. I don't think any of us are here to interpret God's will. Now, you know, you hear a lot of things about God in the course of your life, and there are many people who believe in the Bible literally and think that God is this creature, this being, this man, but he's always depicted as a man, and I just find that totally amusing, and that he sits somewhere in the heavens and he has a plan for you. Really, you're so special that you have, God has a plan for just you. Oh my God. And so that's the way we look at it. We take this thing called God, we make it into our image and our likeness, and then we downgrade it even further with our emotionality, our intellect, and our life. So I don't think God's will is up for interpretation. I don't think that there, in my experience in this world, there is no God that sits above you in the heavens somewhere with thumbs up, thumbs down kind of thing. They just, they don't do that. It isn't that way for me. I've never seen it work in my 47 years of being a teacher and working in hospice for 25 of those years, I have learned something. That if God has a will, he is certainly an evil person. He's an evil God. Because never, never have I seen what people wanted, like healing and things to work out best for them, hope for the best, ever work out. Never. Ever. Ever. And now, I know that there are religions out there that have made a bundle of money, billions of dollars, on the hope of people who are too weak and too silly inside of themselves, frankly, not very mature and unintelligent, to think that it's in their hands. Their life is in their hands. And to give themselves over to something that is called love, which is the true foundation of the concept of God, to let love live me is what it's all about. And to take the thy will be done, even Jesus on the cross could not get out of it. Do you think that was God's will? And if you do, and you think that God did that to his only begotten son, as we are told, what a ruthless SOB he must be. Huh? Would you do that to your kid, Sherry? I don't think so. Hmm? To save the world, would you take your kid and say, now, what we're going to do is torture you for hours, and it will be very painful, but honey, you're doing this for the world, for humankind, and they're all going to be better. And then to find out, and no, they aren't better. We're more ruthless than we've ever been. If we are the image and likeness of this God, we're definitely showing the signs of what that is. We live in a ruthless world. We live with ruthless people. And if it's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth here, and that's how it all works. So you were raised to believe in hope and belief and believe in good and hope for the best, huh? From a God that just absolutely slaughtered his son, slaughtered people. You're hoping for the good there? You're hoping for the best there? Really? Maybe this is why America's on opioids and things like that. It doesn't work like that. It's much more principled. And there are many things that your hearts cannot bear, that you just cannot realize, you cannot understand. It would break your human heart to such a degree to understand the nature of this life. It is only by the graces of the goodness that is love that runs this universe, that is love, love that is what you would call God, that we even exist and that we are here not as God's will, but as a part of a system, a metric system that is so deeply involved in love, in kindness, in beauty, that we can't understand it. And all the hope in the world isn't going to change anything. And frankly, I'm going to be very honest, most people are so dummied down by themselves, their life, their emotions, their entertainments, their obsessions, their compulsions, they ain't going to get it. They're just not going to get it at all. And so the majority rules here in this regard. No, Sherry, it's not going to work. It never has, and it won't. We have to take responsibility for our life by maturing in love. And if I don't mature in love, if I don't seize my life from that point of view, I have nothing. I have literally nothing to share. Nothing. Nothing to give. Nothing. I won't be able to forgive. I will have nada. So there you are, Sherry. I'm sure this wasn't a gratifying and inspiring message for you. But if you need inspiration to stay hopeful and believe, then there is something really, really wrong with your system, and you need to take a deep look at that system and ask yourself, maybe it's not working because it doesn't exist the way I think it does. Please forgive me, Sherry. Namaste. Next one comes from Sal. He does not tell me where he lives. Oh, yes, he does. He's California. I believe in God's plan. I can only hope, as my faith allows me to, that I am correct. Saul. I don't know what you call your faith. I don't know. If it is a belief, an opinion, something that you hold as an opinion within yourself, that you hope will come true. If your belief is some sort of conviction, which it sounds like it is, then it's just your opinion against the universe. So you have this opinion, and you want to keep it positive and on the fly that it's good, but you really don't want to deal with yourself and what's going on within you, you just want to cover that up with belief and hope. That's, you know, when you stand before people, you really begin to see the mental acuity of people, the acumen they have, their ability to understand. And you understand they don't want anything to get in the way of their gratifications. And their gratifications are their belief and their faith and their hope. This is the way people are. We in this country are so gratified by events and entertainments and all sorts of things. Everything has to entertain the ego. And if the ego is entertained enough and given enough support emotionally, then we turn around and we think that we believe. That's why in churches they get all the, you know, songs going in the music. That is to get you in the mood for the hypnotism and the things that are to pass. A lot of it has to do with sentimentality and things like that, emotional sentimentality. And before you know it, you're hooked. You're just hooked. So you say, I believe in God's plan. Saul, what is God's plan? Tell me, was the Vietnam War God's plan? Was World War II God's plan? Huh? Was it? Was famine and poverty God's plan? Was the death of a child born still God's plan? What's his plan? Tell me. I want to know. Where is it written? Where is his plan? See, most people, well, I don't know. I just think God's plan. And that's what people like to think of as belief. If you believe in God's plan, no matter how corrupt and ugly and violent and silly it is, then you're a true believer. A believer in what? In this ruthless God that you have come up with that is all filled with mystery and hate and death and war? What? Why would you have that? If you created this earth, would you want that? Would you want, you know, all this terrible famine and war and poverty and death to occur? Are you that kind of person? Maybe you are. Maybe you are that. Maybe you're a part of God's plan and you kind of go along with it, that there's prejudice, racial. Why? Yeah, I mean, let's go with it. It's there, and evidently that's God's plan. And he made you in his image and likeness, and evidently he can't control you very well. Or maybe you're not being controlled at all. You're the voice of God, 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 God. And he wants you to be prejudiced, and he wants you to be a racist, and he wants you to kill your enemy. What is all that? How can you say God has a plan? I can only hope my faith will show me. What faith? You have faith in this dude that is ugly? This God that kills? Is that what you're talking about? You ask me, am I correct? No, you are not correct. If your belief and your hope do not turn into the state of faith, you are not doing it consciously, mindfully, correctly. Faith is a state of mind. A state of being that you enter into. And it isn't entered into through belief and hope. It is entered into through consciousness, meditation, deep inner meditation, letting go of the ego, the pride, the vanity, letting go of the right, the wrong, the duality of the mind. Only in this do we succumb to love, which is what it's all about. Do you know anything about love? Saul, do you know anything about love? You think love is emotion? It's passion? Is that what you think it is, like most people do? In doing so, in living in such a way, we don't mature. We just have our opinions. And for the most part, people are fine with their mere opinion. They do not live in the consciousness that is necessary for the evolution of the authentic heart to take over and be made present in life. So there you are. No, Saul, this is not correct, but it is easier for you to go with your genetic nature, that is, praising your DNA and subservient to your DNA, than to seek a more conscious way of living where self-examination is a big part of it and you start to realize the hopelessness of the human. But that's another story altogether, and I won't get into it here and bore you. Thank you, Saul, for your question. And I know I didn't make you real happy, but it had to be said somewhere. It has to be said. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question from Rick in Torrance, California. Nothing I ever hoped for or believed in happened. Why? Rick. Rick, it's because it wasn't in your karma. It just wasn't in your karma. It doesn't mean you weren't good enough. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean any of that. It just wasn't in the cards for this lifetime. And instead of focusing on the things that were important for this lifetime, we focused on our outer environment and circumstances, thinking that if we did that, we would be happy. All most people are looking for is to be happy. Happiness occurs as a quality of consciousness. It does not occur in the immaturity of our emotions and trying to get things that we emotionally want, that we believe will make us, the human being, happy. Whatever is happy in this world will eventually turn to not so happy. If you haven't noticed that, if you haven't seen that, then you haven't explored the meaning of your life. You can have all the belief and hope you want. It isn't going to change. This is the way it is. Because it is a human experience based on greed, vanity, and pride. If you want to turn your life around, you're going to have to start considering somewhere within yourself what the state of your karma is, what the state of your life is, how you have defined your life, how you use your emotions. What is this persona that you call, maybe in your case a Rick, I call a Greg, and what place do they have in our life? You need to look at all of that. It's a process. It is about the authentic. And if you miss the authentic for the sake of just pleasuring your mind and body with whatever religious, philosophical beliefs you have, hoping that they're right or thinking absolutely they're right, you miss. And eventually you're going to find that your karma comes back and shows you how wrong that has been. I guarantee it. It's happened in my life many times. The reason things aren't working out for you in that regard is because you're not paying attention to what is important within yourself. You are only looking, from your pedestrian mentality at what you want that you think will make you happy. Don't worry about that. Do the brave thing. Not my will, but thy will be done. How about that? Not my will, not what I want, Greg Penn, but what is it that I need to know that I'm afraid to ask? Thy will be done. Show me the way. If you sit in meditation for any amount of time, you eventually come to this very dubious place where it's going to be either my will as Greg or a higher state of will, a more, shall we say, mystic state of love. That's the way it's going to be. And most people aren't much interested in that because they just want to go on. They want to get through, go along to get along and get through this life and have as much fun as they possibly can before it's lights out. And it is for me right now. I'm out of here. I hope that helped you, Rick. And if any of my questioners have anything to say, you're always welcome to call me, write me. I promise you I will share it with the public. I'm not a popular guy. Anyway, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful weekend. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.